Okay, I'm going to start off with a passage from the Bible, which talks about a man named Paul and how he was called to the city. And then from that passage, I want to draw out for us what our call in the city is. I'm going to read from the book of Acts, which is in the New Testament of the Bible. I'm going to read from chapter 16, verses 6 to 15. There are going to be a lot of strange-sounding cities. Bear with me, and I'll try and bring this home to our present context in Mumbai. On the Sabbath, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God has called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Allow me to just pray for a moment. Father God, we want to come before you asking that you would speak to us about our call in the city. Guide us, lead us in the areas that we need clarity on, in our careers, in what we do in the city. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to draw our attention to three things from this passage. The first thing I'd like to look at is Paul and Lydia's path to Philippi. These two people, how did they come to Philippi? The second thing I'd like to look at is Paul and Lydia's partnership at Philippi. And lastly, I'd like us to reflect on the mystery of God's plans to reach Philippi. The path to Philippi, the partnership at Philippi, and the mystery of God's plans to reach Philippi. If you're here for the first time, if you're still new in a church kind of a context, and you're wondering why on earth should I care about Philippi, let me say that Philippi was a city very similar to Mumbai. It was a fairly global city by the standards of the time that it existed. And life in Philippi, in that context, was pretty similar to what life in Mumbai looks like. And as we look at that city, I believe there are some applications that we can draw out to how we live life in our city, Mumbai. Let's begin by looking at Paul and Lydia's path to Philippi. Paul's path to Philippi was remarkably supernatural. The Holy Spirit blocked him from going to certain areas, but guided him into Macedonia. Initially, if you read the passage, Paul had absolutely no intentions of going to Philippi. That city was just not on his radar. He wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow him to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit would not allow him there either. The Holy Spirit was supernaturally, divinely giving Paul directions to go to a new city, the city of Philippi. Paul, though, hasn't quite realized it yet. He's probably confused and at least unsure of where to go. Paul and his companions spend the night in confusion in Troas. And it is in Troas that Paul has his vision of a man from Macedonia. So Paul's path to Philippi was remarkably supernatural. But Lydia's path to Philippi, on the other hand, was plain and ordinary and as natural as it could get. Lydia came to Philippi for business reasons. She was a dealer in purple. Purple was a luxury product of that time. She was from Thyatira. She was an ambitious and successful businesswoman. She wasn't tied to the city of her birth. She wasn't tied to the city of her comfort. She wanted to grow and expand her business. And it was her pursuit of business success that brought her to the district, to the leading city in the district of Macedonia. That's the first thing I'd like us to consider. The path to Philippi. Paul was a missionary, and he came to Philippi through a mysteriously supernatural path. Lydia, on the other hand, was an entrepreneur, a businesswoman. She took a natural and business path to Philippi. The supernatural led to the city, and the natural led to the city. Paul's missionary path led to the city, and Lydia's economic path led to the city. Think about this. Was God any less involved in Lydia's business path to Philippi than he was in Paul's missionary path to Philippi? I have a couple of more observations on the path to Philippi. First, as supernatural as it was, the Holy Spirit led Paul only to the general region of Macedonia, allowing Paul to pick specifically where in Macedonia he wanted to go to. And Paul, this passage tells us, decided to go to Philippi, the leading city in the district of Macedonia. That's what verse 12 tells us from the passage that we just read. Paul had this figured out. The best place to plant a church in a region, the best place to start preaching the gospel in a region is in the biggest city of the region. God moves people into cities. He may use supernatural visions as he did in bringing Paul to Philippi, or he could use your career and mine as he did with Lydia to bring us to the city that he wants us to live in. The beauty here of God working in Lydia's life is Lydia is not yet a follower of Jesus, but God is already working in her life, helping her move from Thyatira through Philippi. Let me say this. You're not here in Mumbai by accident. For those of us who are not followers of Jesus, I'm going to really encourage us to think through this. Is it your career or the pursuit of your art form that brought you to Mumbai? Or could it be that God has brought you to Mumbai just as he brought Lydia to Mumbai through her business paths? Knowing Mumbai, she may not be treating you too well right now. Mumbai is a tough city. And she has this habit of making life difficult for those of us who are new to the city. But I do believe God has a plan in bringing us to the city of Mumbai. I believe that God is intentionally moving people to the big cities of the world. As I was sharing earlier, I work with a newspaper called The Economic Times. I'm one of the editors there. And for many years, I have seen the birth and rise of global cities merely as an economic phenomenon. Cities attract people because they are economic nerve centers. McKinsey, one of the top consultants in the world, did a study on global cities a few years ago. And this is what they found in that study. In the next 10 years, 65% of world population will be living in 600 cities. Think about that. 65% of the world population living in 600 cities. Or look at it this way. These 600 cities together is going to be roughly 5% or less than 5% of the world land mass, of the world land area. 65% of the world population living in 5% of the land area. And I thought for many years that this was purely an economic phenomenon until a few years ago when I began to understand that this is the birth of cities is not just an economic phenomenon, but also a spiritual phenomenon. God is bringing people to the cities so that in the cities they can encounter Jesus. People from every tongue, tribe, and land are moving into the global cities of the world. And as they move into these cities, the opportunities for them to hear about and experience the love of Jesus is becoming greater and greater. Look at us. We are probably a community of about 70 people. And I think in this community of 70 people, we actually have people who speak 10 different languages, people who've come from 10 different regions of the country. Mumbai attracts people from all over. The second observation that I wanted to talk about, the path to Philippi is this. It's quite beautiful how God planned Lydia's path to Philippi. Thyatira, the city, was actually in the province of Asia. And that's where Lydia was born. That's where Lydia started her business. But God did not allow Paul to preach the gospel in Asia at that moment, at that season. The gospel, of course, was preached in Asia much later. But God was bringing Paul to Philippi, and so God was already moving Lydia to come to Philippi. It was God who engineered, through Lydia's business, through Lydia's career, her move into Philippi, just as God engineered some of our move to the city of Mumbai so that we can experience Jesus more. If Lydia had remained in Thyatira, she may not have come to know Jesus. Lydia became a follower of Jesus only because she moved from Thyatira, a small town, to Philippi, a really big city in that region. For those of us who are not followers of Jesus, I wonder. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus, I want us to think about this. Was it our careers that brought us to Mumbai? Or could it be that God is bringing us, God has brought us to Mumbai so that we can meet with Jesus? I know some of us have been coming to New City for a while now. What would you consider yourself? Would you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus? Would you like to become a follower of Jesus? Think about this. God has a specific plan for each individual, even in a city of 23 million. Could it be that Christ Jesus is pursuing you? And if indeed Jesus is pursuing you, would you be willing to turn and embrace him? You're not a nobody in Mumbai. How can anybody be a nobody if Christ Jesus is pursuing him? Did you chart your own path to Mumbai, or is God behind our move to India, to Mumbai? That's Paul and Lydia's path to Philippi. And as an extension, that is our path to Mumbai. We think we've come here for career or business reasons, but God is actually behind that move. The second thing I'd like us to consider this morning is the partnership at Philippi. Paul, the missionary, is partnering with Lydia, the businesswoman. And through this partnership between the missionary and the businesswoman, the entire city was opened up for the gospel. The true depth, this passage doesn't quite capture the full. This passage doesn't capture the full depth of the partnership between Paul and Lydia. But let me just dig out one verse which kind of captures this for us. Soon after Lydia becomes a follower of Jesus, Paul and his companions, including Silas, are arrested. They are beaten because of their faith in Jesus. They are flogged and they are thrown into prison. And what happens at the prison is an extraordinary night where God miraculously rescues them. And in the process, the jailer also becomes a follower of Jesus. The next day morning, Paul and Silas are released in Philippi, from the prison in Philippi. And soon after they are released, where do they go to? They go to the home of Lydia. That's there in verse 14, the same chapter. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them. There were many brothers and sisters in Lydia's home. The church at Philippi had been birthed. And this church at Philippi was birthed not just by Paul, but this church at Philippi was birthed by the partnership between Paul and Lydia. And even as we look at this partnership between Paul and Lydia, what I really wanted to dwell on this morning is Lydia's role on this partnership. I want to dwell on Lydia's role because I guess most of us would identify more with Lydia than with Paul. I would imagine that at this point at least, we may not be seeing ourselves as missionaries, but we are definitely seeing ourselves in the city of Mumbai as career professionals. That's what Lydia was. I bet Lydia never saw herself as a church planter. Yet, as it turned out, she played a crucial role in planting of the church at Philippi. If there's one thing you've heard me say again and again in when we meet in smaller groups, it's simply this. We are all church planters. God has used many of us to build this church. I would imagine there are maybe 25 of us who deeply, passionately carry this vision of a church in Mumbai that is relevant and engaging to professionals and artists in the city. So many of us are serving sacrificially in so many ways. You are a church planter. The church at Philippi could never have been planted by Paul alone. It was a Paul-Lydia partnership. It needed a Paul-Lydia partnership for the church at Philippi to be planted. And many of us in New City have played the Lydia role in planting this church, and I want to celebrate that. We are, all of us, we are church planters. You are a church planter. And this morning, I want to call us to take greater ownership of this church plant. I want us to see ourselves as church planters. I want to encourage us to see ourselves as Lydia, passionately pursuing a career and art form, but also being used by God to plant his church in the city. This church plant would not have happened, would not have come this far if it hadn't been for so many Lydias here, so many professionals and artists whom God has called to plant this church. This church will not progress too much beyond where we are unless all of us see ourselves as Lydias and called by God to invest more in planting this church. Of course, ultimately, it is Christ Jesus who plants his church, but God, Jesus, finds pleasure in partnering with us to plant his church. So not only are all of us uniquely called to plant this church in the city, but we are also uniquely gifted to plant this church in the city. God has called us to be a church that engages with the city. We are not afraid of the city. The church is not a place we come to hide from the city. But when we meet as a church, we equip one another to go back out into the city, to love the city, and to serve the city. Our church has two expressions. First, we are the church gathered. That's what we are today when we come together to worship Jesus. Or when we meet for our gap groups, that's what we are, the church gathered. The second expression of us as the church is us as the church scattered. Us coming here and us going out into the world to be the church in the city. We are called to be the church gathered and we are called to be the church scattered. Last week, Reinberg, my friend, he came and he was preaching. And after he finished preaching here on Sunday, he went out during the week and he went to serve commercial sex workers in Kamathipura. And when Reinberg went there to serve these women through a business he set up which employs these women, he ran into Tharika from our church, was already who was serving there. Shireen goes, who's part of our church, goes there to serve those women. If you walk into Juhu, that part of the city, you will find Arman acting in modeling assignments and in movies, and you will find people like Susan covering those film personalities as a journalist. If you go into Hard Rock Cafe, you would find an Aditi and a Brian and an Asha performing there. If you go into the courts, you will find a Roshni working there. If you would go into some of the corporate offices, you would find many of us there. We are the church scattered. The goal of the church gathered, the goal of this gathering, is to be better at being the church scattered. The goal of the church gathered is to be better at being the church scattered. Because God has called us to be a church that engages the city, He has called professionals and artists and entrepreneurs to plant this church. God intentionally called Lydia in planting the church at Philippi, and God has intentionally called us as professionals and artists in the city to plant this city. I believe that God wants us to be a church that truly, deeply, passionately, bravely, faithfully, and humbly engages the city. Only professionals and artists can do that. Only you, only us can plant a church like this. You know, even as I was preparing for this, I sense God lay this on my heart. And I believe this is a word of encouragement that God wants to give to all of us who are professionals and artists in the city. It's simply this. I believe God is telling us one very simple phrase. When I speak it, I just pray in faith that it'll make a deep impact in your hearts. I believe God is telling us, do not underestimate God's call on your life. God's placed you in your careers for a plan and for a purpose. Whatever the trouble and the hardship that come by your way, God's telling us, God's encouraging us, do not underestimate God's call on your life. Lydia partnered with the church plant in two ways. First, this may not be quite really explicit, but Lydia's relevance in the marketplace would have attracted a certain kind of people to the church plant. Lydia was a merchant of purple. Purple cloth in those days was a really expensive luxury product. So, you know, in modern day parlance, Lydia would have probably been owning and running a Rolls-Royce showroom. That's what Lydia would have looked like in the modern-day context. And imagine Lydia in Mumbai owning and running a Rolls-Royce showroom, and imagine the kind of people she would be attracting. And that's the kind of people Lydia in her society, in her city, in her time, attracted to the church at Philippi. So the first way Lydia served in the church plant was through her career, reaching out and attracting people to the city. The second way Lydia served the city was she opened up her home. We saw that when Paul and Silas were released from prison, they go straight to Lydia's home because Lydia's home was the place where all church folks were hanging out. Lydia's home was the place where the church folks gathered so that they can be scattered to serve the city. If you read through the passage, you'll find these phrases. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. Lydia opened her home. And the Lord opened up the city of Philippi. We need more open homes if we are to open up the city for the gospel. Many of us have opened up our homes for gap groups. I want to celebrate that, and I want to applaud that. And there is a cost that you are paying. Just as Jesus paid a cost to rescue us, to save us, and I want to celebrate that. I also want to say that if there are more of you who would like to open up your homes, you know, we would be delighted to do that. We need more open homes where people can come and rest and be loved and be nurtured and be refreshed. That's a beautiful way in which Lydia served the church plant, by just opening up her home. Lydia's career was missional, and Lydia's home and her personal life was missional. That's the second thing we wanted to look at this morning, the partnership between Paul and Lydia in planting the church. The third thing I wanted to draw from this passage is the mystery of God's plans to reach Philippi. The mystery of God's plans to reach Philippi. As we look back now at the remarkable way in which Paul's supernatural path to Philippi and Lydia's commercial path to Philippi converged in one meeting, it's pretty evident that God planned this partnership to reach the city of Philippi. But as much as this path was visible, is visible to us, as much as God's plan was visible to us, this partnership is visible to us, I must also conclude that God's plans for Philippi was at one level deeply mysterious. Why do I argue that God's plan for Philippi was mysterious? Paul was an amazing apostle and church planter. He was perhaps the best example of what a disciple of Jesus should be. And yet, even Paul had no idea of the full picture of how the church at Philippi would be planted. Paul did not have the full picture. First, Paul never considered Philippi. That was not at all on his plans. God had to guide him. And on the way to Philippi at Troas, he was completely confused. He had no idea what was going on. God had to guide him at that step. And finally, God brings him to Philippi. The church in Philippi takes off. And just like everything, it seemed that everything was going well. Paul and Silas get arrested and beaten up. And the next day morning, they have to leave Philippi. Was Paul in control of the church plant at Philippi? Absolutely not. He was not in control of the church plant at Philippi. Was Paul faithful in preaching the gospel at Philippi? Absolutely yes. Paul was totally faithful to that. You see, only God had the full picture. Only God was in control. When did Paul get the full picture? Probably much later, when everything had transpired, only in hindsight. Paul never had the full picture. That's why I'm arguing that Paul, God's plans to reach Philippi was mysterious. Allow me to take a moment to apply this to our careers. I want to submit that God's plans for our careers is often a mystery. Just like Paul never had the full picture, we may never have the full picture of what our careers look like. But God is crafting His call on our lives through our careers. Let me also say this. Just as Paul was never in control of the church plant, we will never be in control of our careers. Control is an illusion. I was reading a blog yesterday written by Nirmalya Kumar. Nirmalya Kumar is a really top-notch guy. He was hired by the chairman of Tata Motors, Cyrus Mistry, to be on the group executive council. It's a really hotshot job. And he was doing a great job, doing phenomenally well at the assignment that he was given. And in his blog, he writes, "The previous day, I spoke to a gathering of about 200, 300 students, and it went very well. The next day morning, I woke up to find that I'd been fired because Cyrus Mistry, the chairman of Tata Sons, was fired." Control is an illusion. We cannot control. Only God is truly in control of our lives, of our careers, and even of the church plans. We've got to trust in Him. We've got to live our careers by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to close, and as I close, I want to lead lead us into some introspection with two simple questions. I've been talking about us reaching Mumbai. We are 70 people. How on earth can we reach a city of 23 million people? Is it even possible? Why are we even attempting something like this? Can we ever influence this great city? Please allow me to give a slightly long-winded answer to that question. The gospel, the good news of what Jesus did for us, is counterintuitive. Allow me to unpack the gospel. All human beings are imperfect. We are deeply flawed. We are messed up. And quite often, all of us, without exception, do things which we know are wrong things, are bad things, but we do them nonetheless. In the language of the Bible, all of us are sinners. We are messed up. And for the sins, for the transgressions we commit, we deserve to be punished by God. But God chose not to punish us. God chose to punish His perfect Son, Christ Jesus, instead of punishing us. Jesus was sinless. He was absolutely perfect in every way. And God took the sins of us and heaped them upon Jesus so that we can be forgiven and accepted. Think about this. Why on earth would God punish His Son to save us? Isn't that remarkably counterintuitive? The gospel is counterintuitive. Then let me go on to say, if the gospel is so counterintuitive, if God's way of redeeming mankind is by sacrificing His Son on the cross, if that is so counterintuitive, why do we foolishly expect often God to reach our city through our predictable plans and strategies? Why do we often expect to spread a divinely ingenious and disruptive gospel through our insipidly predictable ways? If the nature of the gospel is beautiful, glorious, and ultimately mysterious, why do we often expect the progress of the gospel in our city to be any less transcendental? Rather than try to hold God captive in the box of our past experiences, we must grow in our awe of Him. We must be open and even expect God to move in new ways in our cities and in our careers. I see our careers as integrally linked with our church planting, because that's the people group in which God has called us to plant churches in. You see, we often live in the mistaken notion that we have to initiate God's move in our cities, in our careers, and in our church plants. This is so not true. Like in Philippi, God is always one step ahead of us, even in modern day cities. We only need to learn to join in what God is already doing. If we read through the book of Acts, God and His Holy Spirit are the prime movers all the time. The apostles merely followed the Holy Spirit at every turn. It's not Paul and Lydia's plans that reached Philippi and planted the church there. It was God's plan. They didn't engineer it. God engineered it. It's not our burden to reach Mumbai. It's actually God's burden to reach Mumbai. The second question, and I'll close with this in a couple of minutes, is very simply this. Am I good enough? Am I good enough to be a church planter? I know all of us struggle with sin at different levels. I struggle with sin, and you struggle with sin. We all struggle with sin. If I talk of us as church planters, I guess these are some thoughts that might be crossing our minds. I party too much. I lose control with alcohol. I'm unable to live up to my own standard of sexual purity. I struggle with jealousy and envious thoughts. I'm insecure. I have many doubts about God Himself. I love Jesus on Sundays, but honestly, I forget Him throughout the week. I find it boring to read the Bible or pray. How can I be a church planter? Am I good enough for this calling? All of these are sins. I'm not going to say these sins are okay. These sins are not okay. They are horrible, ugly, and repulsive in God's eyes. And God has nothing but wrath on those sins. But rather than pour that wrath out on us, God has already poured out the wrath for these very sins upon Christ Jesus. And because Jesus was punished in our place, we are considered righteous and we are considered in God's eyes good enough to be partners in planting this church in this city for God's glory. The gospel works very simply. The more I am forgiven, the more I experience forgiveness, the more I find the power to overcome my sinful patterns. That's how the gospel works. To receive more power of the gospel, to become better people that we all desire to, we don't have to work harder. We don't have to try harder. All we need to do is believe in Jesus and experience more and more of His forgiveness. The more we are forgiven, the more we love Him. And the more we love Him, the more we choose Jesus over any other sinful pleasure that we might find ourselves vulnerable to. And for those of us who are struggling with sin in this season in our lives, I just want to close with this offer. Come build His church in the city. Come devote yourself to Christ Jesus. Come devote yourself to this community. Come devote yourself to this church plant, and God will work in our lives. Let us pray. I'm going to just request the band to come up and take us through a last song as I close in prayer. Father God, we thank You. We worship You, Lord. We come before You in worship. We thank You for Your call upon our lives in the city. We thank You, Lord, that You've brought us to Mumbai and You have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord Jesus, we pray that in moments of doubt, in moments of struggle, in moments of disappointment in the city, that You would remind us of Christ Jesus, that You would remind us to stand strong in Your call upon our lives in this city.